Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast that helps us learn about some interesting and influential women so that we can learn more about their lives and how to possibly even get inspired to change our own lives. This is Nikki Bannerman and my influential woman today is Lisa Cannon. Hello and welcome, Lisa. Hi.
Nikki, hi. Oh, I can't believe we're finally here. It's so lovely to be on the show.
Oh, so lovely to talk to you. And I love that Irish accent. So great to meet you. Lisa Cannon is an Irish TV presenter and producer known for working with Exposé Ireland AM, RTE and Box Office on Virgin Media Television and is a brand ambassador and influencer. My goodness, Lisa, we met, can you believe, pre-COVID, back in 2017 it was.
No, really? That long ago?
It was that long ago. I literally looked up when that event was that you were hosting. We were at the Hospital Club, which so sadly doesn't exist anymore, and you were interviewing Sir Bob Geldof, as you do. Isn't he awesome?
As you do. I remember that day so well because my nerves were chattering and I was thinking, oh my God, you know.
Were they? You were rocking it. I don't believe that, because I remember you were wearing this really gorgeous red dress and you were rocking it in your heels and you were on the stage and we were all in awe of you. It was a really intimate venue. It was lovely. And you didn't look nervous at all. Isn't that funny?
Well, that's mad. Thank you for that. And I remember the red dress.
Yeah. Oh, did you see? Way back. I suddenly had this vision of you there. And I remembered, well, not remembered, but I read that your dad was a rock journalist who interviewed him as well, didn't he? So that family career just goes around, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was a really special day. I'm actually really glad you brought that up because, and I know that's when we did meet last. So, you know, we're obviously seeing each other face to face over Zoom, very different times now, you know, post-COVID as such. But my father was a rock journalist, set up the Hot Press with Niall Stokes, another huge music magazine over here in Ireland. So, you know, very similar to the NME and, you know, all the other great, glorious film and music magazines across the globe. And the Hot Press is highly respected. I mean, it's been going for, God, how many years is it going now? It must be 40 something years. So when my father began the kind of career he had of rock journalism, Sir Bob Geldof, who was just Bob Geldof, you know, was very gracious and did a lot of different interviews with my father around the time when he was with Paula Yates and other. And actually, my father ended up living with Bob Geldof.
Really? So you know him really well and you grew up with all these incredible people.
I think it was much more of like a house share. I think my dad was in there with him with maybe four or five other guys, you know. But it was amazing. A really special moment because my father had obviously done all these amazing articles on Bob and Paula was in one of them. It's one that was on our house framed for years. And when my dad found out that I was doing the interview with Bob, he was going to fly over. And I think just at the time he couldn't with his business and work and stuff. So he said to me, why don't you give him this beautiful cover of Hot Press, which celebrated, it must be, I'm only taking a potluck guess here, it must have been their 40th anniversary or their 50th anniversary. So he gave it to me, rolled it up and gave me the article that he had written. And I gave it to Sir Bob before we did the interview.
Special.
So there was kind of, actually, it was almost to the day, there was like a 30-year gap between my interview and the interview
that connection.
It was really nice and he was really appreciative of it and he was like, I remember your dad, oh my God, you know.
So he would. Oh, how fabulous that you had that full circle and you grew up with all those, you know, fun people in your life. Wow. But poor you, you've actually got COVID literally at the moment that we're speaking. How are you feeling?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because obviously I don't know, is this my first time getting it or my second time getting it? I wouldn't even know because the first time I mean, there was no testing as such. It just kind of, you know, I felt a bit ill maybe a year and a half ago, but I wouldn't have known. I nearly think I got it before it was even all publicized, I think. And then I've been so lucky and I knew my luck was running out. I could feel it because people were dropping like flies over here in Ireland from other television presenters that I've had to step in for across shows, to family members, to, you know, friends, kids. You know, I was like, oh God, I'm next. I know I'm next. The classic, you know, we went away for a few days and came back and I just had a, you know, the nose was going and I could feel my chest getting heavier and I thought, oh no. So I did an antigen test and lo and behold, yeah, there we are.
You have got it and you're feeling a bit grotty, aren't you? But you're amazing. You're still talking to us, with technology, we can still talk to you at home. And you've got your fab baseball cap on that everyone can't see here with Brooklyn on it.
Strictly told Nikki she's not allowed to put me on camera. Because I mean, I do look like the wreck of the Hesperus and no makeup, baseball cap on, hoodie on.
You're looking fab and relaxed. And I haven't put my makeup on either to feel, you know, we're both in the zone that to remind me not to put this on camera. I'll see myself first.
I'm a bit sweaty. I'm a little bit chesty. But honest to God, I really expected more. And that's not to throw shade or anything on those that have, you know, had much more severe reactions to COVID. Obviously, I really have been feeling okay. So I think it's the milder version.
Isn't it? Thank goodness, and wishing you well soon. Thank you for talking to us literally mid-COVID. And you're in Dublin at the moment, aren't you?
Yes, I'm in Dublin. Yeah. So I can't complain. I'm surrounded by great TV. I just signed up to Disney Plus. You know, because I've worked in TV and movies for so long, and Disney send me all these screeners and things, and I can't figure out how to work all the... I'm useless at technology, Nikki, so...
Yes, me too. As you could see, when I was trying to connect, we were looking at each other from different screens.
I just got so fed up, I just bit the bullet and I bought. We get it anyway, and I was like, oh, I don't know, and I just signed up.
Yes, go and relax, watch Cinderella. So the last 5 years, who would have thought... All the movies would be part, you know, playing a waiting game from Wonder Woman to Bond. We never thought that would happen, but literally your life completely changed. Everyone's life completely changed, but your work life, the last 5 years, you've still had some fun gigs, haven't you, with some incredible people. What have you been up to?
Yeah, it's been different. I mean, you know, I've been working in television. I'll be 44 in June, so I'm definitely knocking on a little bit. But I mean, I have had a long, expansive career in television. I mean, I've been working on TV since my very early 20s. I mean, obviously, I went to college in Trinity, and I did loads of plays, and I worked for free, and I worked on movie sets, and I did all those fun things. But as a working kind of media related person across radio, print, television, and film, yeah, it's been early 20s. So with 20 years or more, 20 plus years, you know, it's kind of was a welcome break, if I'm being brutally honest. It sounds like kind of a blessing in disguise in a way, because I got to kind of slow down, take the foot off the pedal from the metal, and really kind of decide what is it that I really want to achieve now in my 40s, you know. And I think it was a break that everybody welcomed in some small way. I mean, people talk about, you know, COVID, the idea that what are the priorities, and what have people learned, and what have people rediscovered and reimagined since they've had these long breaks from, sadly, family members and or other. But I feel when it's come to career, I can only just talk about my career for now. Yeah. It really was good. It was good because I found a sense of distance between my career and myself, and I was able to put some thought into how I wanted it to go, really. That was more really what I saw. So I started developing things, you know, I got creative, and I launched Spotlight, which is my seasonal entertainment show that's been running since only last year. I'm coming on season three. I'm actually starting season three in March, April time. So I've hooked up with the Daily Mail group. Everybody knows the Daily Mail group.
Yes,
very big. Yeah. And what we've done is we output the show across maybe 6 or 8 episodes. So we've been very blessed. I've had Colin Firth on the show. I've had Stanley Tucci on the show. I've had Louis Walsh sitting in studio with me. I've had Michelle Heaton, who has been very gracious to, you know, disclose and expose all of her alcohol addictions and all of that. We sat down for an hour like you and I are doing and talking very openly and reverently. I've had Vince Vaughn on the show, Helen Mirren on the show. Nikki Clark.
I know. I saw that. Nikki Clark and Marco Pierre White, all sorts of people on Instagram.
It's been brilliant. So, you know, in a weird way, you know, it's different for me because I'm kind of the CEO. I'm you know, I'm booking the acts like you are doing.
Yes, amazing. And talking to them from your sofa as well. It's just...
All from my comfy...
Exactly. I love your sofa, by the way. I've got sofa and radiator envy there. But you've had some other fun gigs. You've had a new programme for The Style Edit, the award-winning website there with Editor-in-Chief Jenny Taggart. and the fashion series on Zoom with Caroline Rush, CBE and CEO of British Fashion Council.
Forgot about that.
Anna Wintour, editor of Vogue. Did she launch it in Saudi Arabia from her kitchen? Does one of them live in Saudi Arabia then?
Yeah, no, Caroline is a wonderful woman. And she's extremely, you know, powerful in the world of media. She's, you know, the head of the British Fashion Council. So it was a really exciting thing for me to do because obviously we launched it all over Saudi Arabia and other, I think it went lots of different countries. And it was extremely interesting to pick and choose different projects because I've been on television, you know, on and off on a daily basis over a long period of time. And it gets grinding, it gets tiring, you know. I've been kind of filling in now for Ireland AM from time to time, which has been nice. I've also had some personal changes as well. My father's been a little bit sick. So I've had to try and maneuver career around, you know, my father being unwell. And it's like, how do you pick and choose what you're going to do? And
it is reshaping your life. And as you said, with COVID, you're right in terms of, you know, that reimagining, reinventing ourselves and really reflecting that inner reflection. We've had to force ourselves to be alone with ourselves and think, what do we really want? What makes us happy? You know, actually having some alone time has made us happier than we thought. You know, it's been very strange, hasn't it? Very strange. And tech has really helped, particularly in our industry. But pre-COVID, you were always on the other side of the microphone yourself at incredible, enviable, star-spotted events. And you touched on, you know, how you got into that glittering career. But you were head girl, recipient of the school prize for outstanding achievement in the arts, I saw, graduated with a BA in drama and theatre, MA in film, really qualified in the arts, and obviously had that incredible family. So it's always been movies. That's always been your...
It's funny, Nikki, I'm going to come on your show maybe every day just to...
Oh, let's do this. Let's do a show on the Daily Mail together.
Things that I've done.
I've been heavily reading up on you thinking, oh my God, this, you've got the job that everyone dreams of having though. So, and it's not, you know, you didn't just walk into it. It's really hard in the entertainment industry, isn't it? Because everyone wants to be in it.
One thing I will say is that there's a lot of, you know, obviously myself included, I mean, I've had a lot of time to reflect on things. And I was, you know, I was watching, what was I watching last night? Yes, I'll tell you what I was watching last night. The Pamela and Tommy Lee new documentary series that's come out across Disney.
Oh, I must have a look on that.
I went in and it's obviously all about Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson and obviously their sex tape and back in the 90s. So it's all hitting those right hot spots of kind of 1995, 1996. And I was only 18 when all of that kind of came out. And I remember them. They were such a big glamour couple. You know, they were as big as Megan Fox is at the moment or, you know, Parker and Kourtney Kardashian. And they were the originals. And I remember at that time watching MTV, sitting in my Juicy Couture tracksuit, whoever remember those, and looking at MTV and looking at Pamela Anderson and going, oh my God, you know, like I'd love to be on a red carpet interviewing them and I'd love to be in those scenes. But it seems like a whirlwind away. I mean, you know, you're talking about MTV Music Awards in Los Angeles. I was living in Dublin
Oh, I love Dublin though. Dublin is where
my
it's
mom,
at
you know, thinking to myself, oh my God, when I love to go and live in New York. And I did fun things. Like I didn't do my J1 and I did my J2 and I lived in San Francisco and I lived in New York. And I always had that draw.
Yes.
Celebrity and, you know, movies and media and entertainment and the flashing light bulbs and the red carpets that always tickled my toes.
It's your thing. Yeah. And it is. It's a
and
real
I kind of
goal.
Went for it as in I kind of kept pursuing it. And obviously I went down the right avenues, thank God, and I got the right jobs. But I will say this, Nikki, it is so tough. Like the industry is a really tough one. And people used to say that to me, you know, oh, do you want to do acting or you want to do directing? You want to do producing or you want to do whatever it is you want to do? Oh, it's so tough. There's so much rejection. And I remember my mother always saying to me, would you not think of something else? Would you not think of doing medicine? Would you not? So I kind of did. I applied for the College of Surgeons in Dublin and I got in and I mean, there was no way I was going to do it. I had
Amazing.
No interest.
I didn't know that bit. I haven't spotted that online. But that's the thing is that people think it's easy, but it's not easy, is it? But, you know, you were the anchor. I mean, even that word is just amazing, isn't it? The American influence of that, but on Virgin Media too. And the A-list interviews you have had, let's not be shy about it. Meryl Streep, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Mick Jagger, Kylie Minogue, Beyonce, Brad Pitt. I mean, you've met them all. Who is your favourite? They're just awesome. Influential women. I need to be getting in with those people. Oh, my goodness. Were you sort of in awe of them or
they were really... Listen, and that's why I suppose I was just giving you that kind of background in the sense of, like, I was that kid who was looking at MTV and, you know, the Oscars. I used to curl up beside my mom and we would get, like, dressed up and we would have popcorn and we'd have a glass of champagne or whatever was Prosecco. And we would watch the Oscars and they would start, you know, because it was none of this streaming stuff. You know, you'd start at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, LA time, and you'd watch it right through till 5 in the morning.
Oh, yes, I used to do that.
I used to do that with my mom and was just so like, oh, my God. Like,
and then you were there in that dress and those heels on the carpet. And I had the same thing, you know, my first career was in the film and music industry. And I'd go to Cannes to the parties and turn up, you know, these incredible parties with the A-listers there. Or it's really strange when suddenly you meet them, isn't it?
It is. And I think, I mean, I was lucky enough that it kind of happened later in my career. Like I was nearly 27. I mean, I was doing a lot of entertainment stuff. I'm quoting here with my fingers. I did do a lot of radio. I did lots of different things. So I did end up going to the MTV Music Awards in, like, I don't know, remember where we went. We went to Lisbon and there was cool DJs. And, you know, I did Junkets with Pink and Alicia Keys. And, you know, that was like, oh, my God. I mean, I really thought that was the pinnacle. I thought, this is it. I've arrived. Do you know what I mean?
The pinch me moment. I did a conference once when I was working with Warner. Jeff Bridges was at in Las Vegas. And just these sort of incredible moments in your life. You know, sort of Cindy Crawford was at one of these parties in Cannes. It's just... It is incredible when they're sort of in front of you, these people that are icons, aren't they?
Well, I mean, one of my first interviews was Lloyd Grossman. And I thought that was like, you know, Lloyd Grossman, the chef. I thought that was, you know, the pinnacle. But when you kind of get past that, you want more.
Yes, you do. You want those A-listers. I mean, you've done it all. You were the MC of the first European screening of the James Bond 007 movie Spectre. And you've received multiple nominations for the most stylish woman in Ireland at the VIP Style Awards.
Well, not multiple, but I did get two or three, so I think I'll...
There you are. How nice to be the icon of style. And that led you on to fashion and nutrition and all sorts of things. But you were a producer, I read, that I was quite excited about because it's just come back, on the incredible Sex and the City for HBO.
Oh, God, when I say producer now, that's a very loose term. I mean, I was working over in New York and I was waitressing, like I was a young girl, you know, over there. Like I'd said to you originally, just wanted to be in the thick of the excitement of New York City. And it's funny, actually, we're just talking about this. I literally had made a cup of coffee before I was coming into you. And I'd said to Richard, my husband, like, how... sadly a friend of ours that we knew in New York passed away yesterday, so the funeral is actually tomorrow. Yeah, and we knew Kathy very well, and she sadly had a heart attack only at 55. You know, we as friends collectively, we've been on the WhatsApp this morning and we've been like, oh my God. And you know, she would have been a kind of an influential part of our growing up. You know, she's a little bit older than us, but she kind of took all the Irish girls under her wing. And we were just good friends. It was a family friend, basically, that had taken in all the Irish girls that were coming over to have a crazy rock and roll summer. And fantastic. When we were over there waitressing, you know, I ended up getting a job because I saw Sex and the City being filmed really near our apartment in Stuyvesant Street. So it was around St. Mark's Place where they have like all the tattoo parlors and there's bagel shops and it's quite boho, you know. And I saw Sarah Jessica Parker coming down the stairs and I was like, oh, my God. It's like I have a mad celebrity radar. I always spot them for some reason.
Yes.
Even when they're covered up and nobody can know. It was like, oh, my God. And I stopped and I went up and we watched, myself and my friend. We were desperately hungover. I mean, we were, you know, 18, 19 at that stage. I think we were drinking every 5 nights a week, 6 nights a week, you know, when you can, you're that age. Now I can barely do a night and I'm dead for a week. But she was there and we stopped and we were like, hey, we're from Ireland. And one of the bouncers, big guy, said, where are you from? We said, we're from Dublin. He said, okay, hold on a minute there now. And he went off and he got this woman and she came down and her name was Andrea. And she was Irish. She was like, hey, how's it going? And we were like, listen, we're just only here for the summer. What's going on? What's going on? And she said, this is Sex and the City. I'm sure you've seen the series. Now, I hadn't seen the series. But my friend beside me, you know, was like, oh, my God, Lisa, it's amazing. You should watch it. So when we were there, she was like, "What do you guys do?" And I said, "I'm actually in Trinity and I'm studying film and da 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 da." And she said, "Listen, we're a bit stuck actually for people, you know, to assist us in production assistant stuff. You know, if you need a gig, we'd be looking for someone to start tomorrow." And I
Brilliant.
was like, "Oh, I have a CV." So I ran around to the house, got the CV, brought it over to her, and she hired me for the next day for
How
consecutive.
fantastic. So you're just, you know, being curious, inquisitive, what's going on, and you were in. That's what we all need to do.
It all kind of started there. And then, weirdly, years and years later, I interviewed her for Sex and the City 2 on the red carpet, Sarah Jessica Parker, Cynthia Nixon, Kim Cattrall. And I was able to say to her that I delivered eggs to her trailer.
Oh yes. And what, Kim's not in this current series, is she? Kim's not in it. We miss her.
No, yeah. And actually, I actually presented an award, not with her, but we were in the IFTAs together doing the film awards doing so. She's very, very nice. But it was just lovely to be able to say it back to Sarah Jessica Parker, like,
You started me off. Oh, I know. She's amazing. She's still doing it.
it's always been there, Nikki. Do you know what I mean? It's like I
Exactly.
always actively pursued it. It was something that I wanted to do. So I suppose when I said it's a tough industry, it is. That has to be taken. So
Definitely.
anyone that wants to go into it has to know that. But second of all, you have to push. You have to be really, sounds like a bad word, pushy, but it's
Yes.
not a bad word. It's like you have to be ambitious, you have to be focused, you have to know what you want, and you just keep going for it no matter what.
And not to give up, isn't it? To be that resilient, determined. And, you know, I've read an article said you learnt on the hoof, landed on sets, pounded on doors, did anything to get and, learn and observe. And I think that's what people need to do, isn't
Yeah,
it?
I mean, I think as well, to be very clear, I mean, I don't know who will listen to what I'm saying here. It could be any age group. It doesn't matter to me. You could be deciding you want to get into media in your mid-30s. You could be listening to this and you're 18 years of age and you're saying to yourself, actually, that's what I want to do. But I would say, I know I'd went the whole hog of, drama, theater studies, BA, MA. I did that for myself. You don't need to do that. Do you know? I did that for me. And I enjoyed the courses and I had a great time. I had a laugh. I met loads of great people. I was total messer and, made friends for life. But do you need to be doing, degrees in this? And I mean, God, even some of the best directors in the world, Quentin Tarantino, he never did a writing course in his life,
It's just the passion, isn't it? And that skill.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying don't do anything and just expect to fall in, but I do believe if you have a natural talent for it, if you're very good at writing, if you're very good at expressing yourself, if you think you're good on camera, if you feel you've got that, initiative and want to be in the media, do a course or do something anyway to kind of integrate yourself. But I don't, there's some of the best people I know that are have never qualified in it.
That's so true. And actually, that will help a lot of people because, people think they're not enough or imposter syndrome or they couldn't do that or how do they get to these things? So it's good to hear something that's real, just keep going.
You learn on the job.
Learn on the job. Exactly. I always think, give yourself a bit of a challenge and a curve and then figure it out on the way along. So when we were first setting up this, it made me laugh that you sent me a text, sorry, when we were first setting up this interview 5 years ago. Saying, sorry, I'm just chatting with Idris Elba at the moment. Literally, when I was speaking to you were just setting it up, and I was like, as you do, Oh, wow, you've met some incredible people. So, this podcast is about helping women over adversity because by hearing other stories, how they survive challenges and setbacks, sometimes it can help us in our own life. Is there anything you want to share? I mean, obviously, COVID and changing your career have been massive. Is there anything that you've survived and thrived from that you can give people some tools?
Oh God, so many things. I've had more knockbacks than I've had kind of big triumphs. My kind of annus horribilises have come full throttle, many, many different things over the years, like from my mother passing right through to career, public changes, which were not easy. Right through to my own personal difficulties, and it's not easy being a woman in an industry. And that is not to play on that card. That is not to say that it's not difficult for men. Of course it is. I have young guys that have worked with me that have really struggled in the media, But I think, because obviously this is a podcast about women, obviously I'm just going to speak about that vein, that I think, you really have to toughen your skin up a little bit, in an industry like this, but also in general. I think we do get the shorter stick. There's no question. You know, we really do. And I think we have to put our big girl pants on and keep going. You know, isn't easy. Sometimes you don't want to do it. With anything, you know, you have to kind of give yourself time to absorb and process things that are happening to you that you don't want them to happen to you. And I think it takes a lot of courage to move forward. And I think it takes a lot of bravery. And, you know, everyone will always say, oh, you're so strong, Lise, you're so strong and different things like that. But I don't know. I think I've no other option. Do you know what else are you going to do? You know, my grandmother lived to be 103 and she said something great to me.
Wow.
My mother passed away at 59. She died in 2008 and from cancer. So obviously very, very sad.
And young.
Miss her terribly, still miss her all the time. And, you know, my grandmother lived to be 103. So that was my mother's mother.
Amazing.
She was 90, whatever. She was 93 or 94, 95 when my mum died. So she was very much at the twilight of her own life. And when my mother died, I was only 30. So she was, and I was desperately upset because I've no brothers and sisters. And, you know, my father's very much in my life. Love my dad. He's amazing. We're like best friends, but he was at a loss too, because he didn't know what to do. Yeah. And, you know, how was I going to cope with the loss of my mother, who was, you know, we were like two peas in a pod. Mm-hmm. And of course I'd looked after her through her cancer, and, you know, she'd seen my career blossom and she'd watched Exposé and she was so proud. I mean, she'd seen all those interviews you're talking about there. She'd seen all the huge, huge interviews of Bono and Angelina Jolie and all that stuff. You know, when that happened, then I just had this huge gap in my life and sense of loss and no purpose. And it didn't matter a shit to me that I was on daily television. You know, I'd lost my mother. Like, who cares? You know, the glittering, you know, lights of a red carpet really, really mean nothing. They fade to black when you don't have your most important person there by your side or your most favorite person.
Oh, bless you.
So it was difficult. And my grandmother just said to me, look, you're either going to follow her into the grave or you're going to keep going. There's no other option.
Wow, that's so wise, isn't it? And that must have been so heart-wrenching for her as well. You know, it's not the natural order, is it? And
well, it was difficult because I was kind of left, you know, in the sense that where you can see me here, and I know nobody can see it because I'm not on camera, but sitting here in my home, and I used to share this home with my mother. So when my mother passed away, home now. Yeah. But, you know, so it was my mother and myself living here. My parents had separated many, many moons ago, but they were great friends, best friends, in fact. So that's a whole other story. That's a whole other bottle of wine.
Yeah, we'll have to do another podcast.
No, like, they were great friends, great, great friends. So, you know, that's all a good story. Yeah. But it just was, you know, when she passed, there was nobody here with me, you know. So my grandmother moved in. She'd been living in London, even though my grandmother had lived three lives. She started in Donegal, moved to Dublin, and then ended up in London and Portobello Road.
She's a character as well. Bless you. You've had the tool. You've got the resilience and the strength, and you're showing other people how you've got through that. Exactly as your grandma said, you can choose your path in how you cope with these awful things.
Well, it must have been dreadful for her. I mean, she only died in 2016, my grandmother, at 103, and we were all there beside her at her bedside. Oh. And she sang My Fair Lady, even though she was nil by mouth. At the end, we all held her hand.
Did she
and we
really?
Watched My Fair Lady. Yeah, we watched it on television and she would sing.
Oh.
A little bit, you know, I suppose in and out of it then, but it was lovely because what it meant was that, you know, and she buried obviously my grandfather, her own parents, all her brothers and sisters. She buried my mother, her own son, Donald, who died. And then one of the children was a twin, and Brenda had died at three from scarlet fever. So my grandmother buried three of her own children at that point before her own passing.
That's just awful.
And her husband and her mother, you know. So, you know, she knew a bit or two about grief and about sadness and about how to carry on. And,
amazing.
You know, I had the best teacher because, I mean, I was totally lost after
that. Amazing. Thank goodness you had her in your life as your guidance and that. And thank you for that. And sorry you went through all that, because that will help other people with grief. And COVID has given us forms of grief, and we've all lost parts of our life that we're adjusting to and still adjusting. I think a lot of people are still reeling with post-traumatic stress from the last few years. Gosh. So thank you for sharing that. So can we talk about your other passions then? How do you relax or spend any downtime watching TV when you're not traveling?
Nikki, I sound so boring, and I'm not. I'm actually
no, you're not boring at all.
Full of fun. I think I just like everybody else. I think with COVID, everything has kind of stopped. Everything, yes. You know. I mean, I would have loved. I love travel. Travel is my massive passion. So, my husband and I, when we celebrated our wedding anniversaries, we decided we'd zip away for 2 or 3 days to Paris just to get a bit of a.
Lovely.
I'll get off this island and
yes, get off this island.
And it always helps me. Like I do find, you know, not to go back to the last question, but if people are asking me how do I cope with certain things, I do find that having something to look forward to, it sounds so babyish because we've been doing this since the dawn of time. You know, it's like if your parents say, oh, we're going to go to Disneyland this summer, or we're going over to visit your Aunt Mary's in Birmingham, you know, that might not be the most exciting Aunt Mary in Birmingham, but you know that you're going over there and you're going to get ice creams and you're going to do this and you're going to go swimming.
And it's a change, isn't it? A change is good as a rest.
Change. And it's something to look forward to. And I've always planned little things, whether it's a weekend away with one of my girlfriends, you know, just anywhere up to Belfast, even just for a night, or go off and see my own aunties in London. And, you know, maybe we go for a really nice meal somewhere, you know, that they've been wanting to go for ages. So I do think for me, that's what keeps me sane.
Yeah.
Little things to look forward to, not only my friend, but with my husband and with my own family and even with myself.
Yes.
Like I do find that really helps. So
good for you, bless you.
That's what I do. I plan little things.
I don't blame you. I do all the time. It's exciting. So do you have a mantra for living your life then? You've got your lovely grandma's mantra. Do you have a mantra?
My mantra's changed a lot, Nikki. Like I feel, you know, I think through circumstance of my father's illness and other things that have happened to me, both career-wise and other, I feel I've had to grasp a lot of hard nettle over the last while, you know, be responsible, be kind of minding my dad, minding stuff for him. And it's just been colossally difficult, far more than I even imagined. And it's very different from when it happened with my mom, you know, and my dad's sister passed away as well, and she'd never married. So, you know, I'm kind of taking on that mantle of looking after that stuff as well. And, you know, there was just a lot. There was a lot of hard nettle to grasp.
That's a good expression. Yeah.
Businesses and houses and that all people go, oh, that sounds very exciting.
No, but it is stressful. No,
it's very
stressful.
All buried in sorrow and buried in hardship and sadness, and you know.
Yes, and memories. And that's hard.
You have to step up to the mark, and
definitely.
You know, I've had to do an awful lot of adulting over the last not only 13 years after my mum passed, but then in the last, you know, two and over COVID.
Again, bless you. So, what would your new mantra be now then?
So the new mantra then, I suppose, is just keep going. It's a bit of a Churchill moment. It's like when you find yourself in the thick of it, you just have to keep going. And there's been many times throughout the last 2 years when I've not wanted to keep going, you know, meaning I've just wanted to go, you know, F this, I'm fed up. Everything. I mean, from career to myself, you know, could be you're on a weight loss journey and you're going nowhere.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is. That comfort eating is all out of control. I thought March is the idea now because January's too hard. And you think, oh, dear, we're in February already. So I think March to May is a bit of an easier goal is what I've decided.
Yeah, it can be anything as simple as, you know, you're trying to lose a bit of weight and you can't. You're fed up to the back teeth of the whole thing. Why am I?
Yes, we're fed up with ourselves, aren't we? Overwhelmed, burnout. We're all, you know.
Oh, Nikki, and it can be anything. It can be looking at my house here going, oh, my God, it's upside down.
No, I want your house. Look, it looks gorgeous in the back there.
Well, I would say if you want to come and have a look at my attic, it's just... I would love to. There is that mantra of, I just think, I know it sounds very stoical, but it's true. It's like when you're going through a really hard time, you just have to keep going because there will be some, we hope. I don't know. I'm not
definitely. You know. Oh, it's that, it reminds me of that lyric in a song. It was, when the tough gets going, the going gets tough.
I mean, I found myself in situations where I thought there was no exit door, you know, and then you realize, you know, okay, there is.
There is. There's always a choice, isn't there, in terms of, I think people that even the most optimistic, positive, you know, and I'm a really optimistic, positive person, and it's been hard to be optimistic and positive in a world that's just completely nuts relentlessly. And I think you just have to be kind to yourself that change your strategy to, okay, this might be a crappy day, but I know tomorrow will be different is all you can do.
And yeah, and I think Nikki, that comes in all breath of what I'm saying. I mean, you can find yourself in situations that are really tough financially. Okay, yeah. So that could be one where you're like, I have no exit out of this. I don't know how I'm going to cope with this. How am I going to get this off the ground? How am I going to, you know, I don't have the support financially to do that. How am I, you know, there will be ways, and it's about sitting down and finding a plan. I've been very lucky, you know, a family friend stepped in to help me with certain things that I couldn't really figure out myself. So, yes. So maybe it's drawing on an auntie, an uncle, a friend, yeah. You know,
reaching
a neighbor, somebody that maybe has the expertise you don't have.
That's
and
true.
I know it might be a bit embarrassing or might be a bit,
but I don't think it is now. I think all those boundaries have come down, haven't they?
It can be an emotional, you know, harrowing situation, and you're thinking, I've no exit door, how do I get out of this? But you will. Maybe it's about talk therapy, maybe it's about speaking to someone professionally, or maybe it's about listening to podcasts, maybe it's about having a sense of yourself where you work it out slowly but surely, you know.
This breath work, walking in nature, breathing out for longer than breathing in. And there's loads of tools online, and anyone that is really struggling, there's apps, there's previous guests we've interviewed people can listen to, there's apps, there's you can bypass the doctor now and go straight to counselling for free, apps, all sorts of things to help.
Oh, I totally really believe in counselling. I think it's
really struggling. And now I think therapy, people used to think it was a stigma. I think now people think actually it helps you find a better version of yourself. It's not an issue. So we'd urge anyone to reach out to anyone that can help people. So lastly, what key message would you give to inspire and influence women and men? Because a quarter of our audience are men, actually, that are obviously fascinated to hear women talking about their own dreams and goals and how they can help them. But what key message would you give out there?
Very simple. I think just try and believe in your own self, and try and put your best foot forward, no matter how dark the situation is, because things will come good in the end. They always do. I mean, whether it's a death, whether it's a financial crisis, whether it's an emotional or personal crisis, you know, you do have to take those steps. And sadly, you can only do them on your own. You know, I mean, as much as you may have a partner, maybe you don't have a partner, maybe you've no, like I do, I've no siblings, you know, I've no mother now. So, you know, you do have to take those hard journeys on your own. And you just have to try and believe that you can do it, because I know I haven't always had the confidence in myself to do things, but I've just kept pushing forward. I think persistence is a huge part of life that people don't value. Yeah. And I think it's a really key ingredient to falsely, if not other, pushing yourself forward, even if you don't feckin' feel like it, you know.
Definitely.
And keep persevering, keep persisting, keep pushing forward, because you'll eventually get there, you know.
So
and
true.
It's not easy, because if you don't feel like pushing yourself, you know, there's nobody that can really do it for you. But I think sometimes you just keep putting one foot in front of the other, you'll get there, you know.
Fake it till you make it is what we say, isn't it?
Fake it till you make it, because
exactly, because then you give yourself a push and then it almost sort of works through. Thank you for those lovely wise words and for being so human. And I'm sorry you had COVID. I hope you get better soon.
I've had worse. I'm okay. I'm not in bad shape.
Thank goodness you're okay. Thank you so much. Good luck with the future. Look forward to hearing about your new show. Love to chat to you more about that.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for everyone to tune in. So, they just go to my Instagram.
I saw that. I was looking at that earlier. Definitely. So, yeah, definitely. Thank you, Lisa Cannon, for making the time to talk to us, sharing your insights, wisdom, vision, wise words, lovely Irish accent, and a showbiz influential woman. The Influential Women's Podcast is founded, hosted, and exec produced by Nikki Bannerman, edited by Dulcie Godfrey. Please keep listening for more podcasts. Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and even Ask Alexa. Or visit our website at www.theinfluentialwomenpodcast.com. Thank you so much, Lisa Cannon, for your amazing time and words. Feel better.
Thanks, Nikki. Thank you.
Check.